Queensland and New South Wales are slowly recovering from last week's floods, leaving a lot of work ahead for the community and the government. But children who experience these events might face more mental health issues like anxiety, and usually they're not well supported. I started asking child and adolescent psychiatrist and member of Doctors for the Environment Australia, Dr. Sybil Day, how children are reacting to climate change.
I think it's really clear looking at the information that we're getting back from research, but also talking to parents and clinicians, that children are increasingly concerned about the climate-driven disasters that we're seeing, heat waves, floods at the moment, droughts, and bushfires. And the degree to which children and teenagers are now so concerned about the impacts of climate change is really seen in things like a survey done during lockdowns for COVID-19, where young people, including teenagers, were actually more worried about climate change at that time than they were about COVID-19. To think about what's going on with the floods along the eastern parts of Australia and Queensland and New South Wales at the moment, there are many children and families that are being impacted by the floods. The flooding that we're seeing is occurring in the context of climate change. So we're seeing increased frequency of extreme weather events and increased severity. For each 1 degree rise in global average temperature, the atmosphere can hold about 7% more moisture. And that means we're more likely to get these extreme downpours, and children are among the people that are experiencing and seeing them. When children are experiencing a life-threatening emergency or when their parent or carer is in danger, that leads to increased rates of anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder in the months and years that follow.
You just mentioned as well that there was a survey done where young people were more concerned about climate change than COVID. Could you please expand a little bit on that?
So there have actually been a number of quite big studies done now, including ones that included thousands of young people in Australia as well as internationally, which show that the rates of concern and, in fact, distress about climate change among teenagers and young adults are very high. In fact, the number of young people that felt betrayed by governments over the way that climate change has been handled was more than 50%. So that's really striking, and that's not necessarily a clinical disorder, because in fact being distressed about the real problem of climate change can be a healthy response, but it really does indicate how much distress there is. When that becomes part of something that might become a clinical level mental health disorder is in the context of something like experiencing a flood. When someone lives through a disaster like a flood or an earthquake or a bushfire, if the person is aware that someone, like, for example, government leadership, could have done things to make disasters less severe or less frequent or planned better for them, then it means that if those disasters occur, and when they occur, that people are more likely to experience mental health problems. So that's one of the flip side of that, is if we can have really good leadership about cutting fossil fuel emissions this decade, that can provide hope for people and is likely to mean that when the disasters that are going to occur occur, people are more able to cope with them than if they're not seeing clear leadership about preventing them from getting worse in the future.
For Australian parents, what are some strategies you recommend to apply to their kid? What can they do so kids can get minimal mental health impacts in their kids?
It's a really good question. I think there are several things to say. One is that there are the broader questions for children that are not directly impacted by the disaster, and that relates particularly to children being aware of these increasing climate change-driven events, because that's what's going on. And for that sort of situation, then actually parents being able to listen to their children's concerns, parents having ways of making sense of it for themselves and managing their own stress, and actually helping kids do things in developmentally appropriate ways that are helpful for the environment so that the child has a sense of agency and a sense that their parent is taking their distress seriously. There's more information about that, which I think is really helpful, on the Australian Psychological Society website about how parents can support their children at different ages to cope with distress around climate change. There's also some specific things for children and families that are caught up in a disaster like the floods. So when children experience a traumatic event like a flood or a bushfire, which is so disruptive in so many different ways, the child and their family having safety, shelter, those basic essentials is the first priority.
So what effects can these images bring to children?
So even for children that are not in immediate physical danger and whose parents are not in immediate physical danger, not being able to go home, not being able to go to school and seeing the dangers around them is very stressful, especially when the children can't get the support that they need from their family and community, because their family and community are also very distressed in the face of these climate-driven extreme weather events like flooding. And I think the other thing to think about in the current situation is that the children who are going through these flood events, communities going through these flood events along the eastern parts of Australia, many of those children have already been through floods, have already been through the Black Summer bushfires. So this is another traumatic event on top of multiple other events. And when these compound effects occur, because you've got these disasters happening more frequently and more severely, they have a worse impact on children's mental health. So it's harder to recover and to either not develop serious mental health problems or to recover from them when you have multiple traumatic events occurring in a shorter space of time. And I think that thinking about that on the world stage, looking at what's going on with climate change increasing the frequency of these events, we know that children born today are likely to face 7 times more extreme weather events than their grandparents. So there's a really very significant impact. I think the other thing that's really important to think about is how can we help? So there are things that are important to help children that are in the midst, and their families that are in the midst of the flooding now, to try and help them have the best chance of being able to recover from this. And we also need to have really strong leadership about cutting fossil fuel emissions this decade so that we reduce the severity of these into the future. All of those healthy things make a difference. The other thing that makes a difference when children are trying to recover from disasters is the well-being of their parent and carer. So making sure that parents look after themselves, and that as a community and a society that we look after the communities and the health systems. So one of the other issues that's going on with the floods is that the health systems are being disrupted. So, for example, in Lismore, I know there's 2 colleagues of mine who've lost their homes, and they're among the many people in the community who've lost so much through these floods, and it makes it harder for people to access care. So that's the other thing we need to be doing, is making sure that people can get access to the regular health and mental health care that they need.
What can the community and the government do to support children and reduce climate change?
This flooding is the latest in a line of climate change exacerbated extreme weather events, including drought, the Black Summer bushfires and scorching heat waves. And that for each degree of rise in global temperature, the atmosphere can hold another 7% of moisture, and that increases the frequency of the extreme downpours. And I think one of the things that really brought this home to me was seeing a little boy, because I do rural telepsychiatry, so, and his family's given permission for me to talk about this. So seeing a 9-year-old boy who had gone through with his family the bushfires of 2019-2020, where his parents were volunteering and firefighting. So he wasn't in direct danger, but knowing that his dad was going out to fight the fires and his mum was doing things to keep things safe at home raised his level of worry and distress to a level that fits with trauma, because a threat to your parent is effectively a threat to you when you're 9. And so he developed very significant separation anxiety and other trauma-related symptoms and needed treatment, and he gradually was recovering. Then the next lot of floods came, And with the losses that happened, a friend of his had many animals die as a result of the flooding, and this little boy then got symptoms again. Things went much worse. He could barely separate from his mother. He was struggling to eat, and he couldn't get to school at all. He then gradually was getting better. And then the next question is, what is going to happen for this little boy and so many other children when we keep having more disasters? So he had lots of strengths. His family and community have lots of strengths, and they've been doing all the right things. But it's so much harder to recover when you don't have that time in between and these things just keep rolling through. So I really want us to take action now. For our leaders to take action by reducing fossil fuel emissions this decade.
That was child and adolescent psychiatrist and member of Doctors for the Environment Australia, Dr. Sibyl Day.